if the residents that are in there already like are not happy, you know, like they're the ones who will stop paying rent. They're the ones who could potentially like not put in maintenance reports or to I even put more litter out on the lawn, you know, like whatever it will be. Like it's really about like, what are you doing to make them happy? Because when they're happy, they want to stay, like they'll tell their friends or family to like move in. There's like there's just so much more, you know, like when you neglect your residents, like not only like do you put a bad name out there in the real estate world, but like you are actually like harming others in a way. And like we just found that to be just like amazing when we actually found out about the issue.
Mm-hmm. Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, as always, Yona Weiss, and I am so excited today to have another incredible couple here, but this is actually the first couple that's a real couple, meaning a couple times we've had some couples really, but they were partners, you know, two male, not marriageable partners, but business partners. Here we have business partners and relationship partners, Michael Barnhart and Suzy Sevier. I said that right, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. And they are the co-founders of Adventurous Real Estate Investors. They're up in currently in Cambridge, up in the United Kingdom. And I'm just so grateful that you guys joined me today. So without further ado, Michael and Suzy, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Yona. It's a real pleasure to be on your podcast. Really enjoy listening to it. So now we're excited to be on the show and share some wise advice to your listeners.
Awesome. Now, it's always good to have listeners as guests because you kind of relate to, number one, what the listener expects, right? Because they, you know, you've listened to my episodes before and you kind of get the flow of how things go. So any of you out there who are listeners to this show and you'd like to be a guest, you can reach out to me. Go to YonaWeiss.com and fill out the form to be a guest on this show. And we will check that out. That now, without further ado, let's just jump into this, guys. You have an incredible story because you are foreign investors. What does that mean, foreign investors? You live currently, right? You guys are both from the United States, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael, you're currently active duty and serving from afar, but you're currently in school. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, how does that work? You're active duty, but you're studying at the same time.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different military career. Like as I'm approaching the end of my military career, it's a little bit different. It's more of the moving into like the desk jockey type of thing. Right. So, you know, I was, obviously I've been in the Air Force now for 16 years.
Wow.
And my previous tour before coming to the United Kingdom was teaching at the Air Force Academy. I was teaching genetics and molecular methods in the bio department there. And basically they're like, hey, we like you teaching. We like you to get a PhD. And so then you can do that and then come back and finish teaching and finish out your military career. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. That so sounds cool. Great. So yeah, so that's why we're over here in England now at the University of Cambridge, getting a PhD in biochemistry. And then I would return back to Colorado Springs in about a year and a half or two
That's
years.
So cool. And meanwhile, you guys are, you know, have kind of stumbled upon real estate investing, specifically multifamily real estate investing. Did this come about before you went overseas, or was it kind of like a transitional thing that happened at the same time you went over there?
Yeah, so it was very transitional. It actually all happened because of COVID and the lockdowns. So initially, our first lockdown was a little over 100 days, and both of us were not working, you know, like we both came home from work and we were like, okay, what are we going to do? And so like Michael and I don't own a TV just because of the distraction. So I was like, okay, let's do a mini book club. And so through that journey, one of the books that we read was Multiple Streams of Income. And in there, Robert Allen talks about real estate investing. And Michael just looked at me and he's like, we're going to do this. I was like, okay. So that's really like how it all started. And because everything went virtual, it was like the greatest opportunity, I guess, and gift that mm-hmm. we could ever receive in order or in regards to real estate investing.
That's awesome. So it's really been quite relatively new for you guys, the whole real estate world, which is incredible because I've seen, and I think we've become acquainted within that time period, right? Obviously, but shortly thereafter, meaning shortly thereafter of, you know, being the lockdowns and doing everything on Zoom and all of the online networking that's happening and social media and stuff, we came across each other. And it's just amazing to see how you guys have accelerated that growth from that book of seeing something and, oh, we need to invest in real estate. And now to today where you guys are have closed on a multifamily property in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? And have another one under contract.
That's right. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. That's like under 12 months. Like that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing was that we didn't know how long virtual would last, right? Because we heard like, oh, I have Zoom fatigue. Oh, I want to get back to in-person. And I mean, now that you hear companies saying like, no, we are going to either do a hybrid version because of the like revenue it brings or because of the quality of life it brings our employees. We're like, oh, okay, this is definitely here to stay. But because we initially did not know in the beginning, we were just like, we have to go like from zero to 100, like put that jetpack on and just get to it. Because if it does disappear and we did not like take the full advantage that we could, then we will be like kicking ourselves, wishing that we did. So we just tried to make sure that we like optimized on it.
That's awesome. So can we unpack that a little bit? Because someone who is, you know, also remote and, you know, interested in real estate investing or a real estate investor remotely, but there's a difference between passively investing and actively investing. So you guys have done both, or are you doing, which one would you categorize yourselves as?
Mostly on the active side. So we've done some, you know, private lending and things like that. But we're mostly focused on the active side right now, which does bring a set of challenges being remote, right? Or being 4,000 miles plus away from our asset.
Right.
Meaning that we rely heavily on our boots on the ground partner in the area, our partners in the area, people that can walk the asset, touch the asset, and things like that. And we rely heavily on our third party property management company as well. And so we did not take that lightly, the decision to choose which property management company we ended up choosing. We vetted several and, you know, got references and things like that because we knew that person was going to be on the ground carrying out our business plan that we created, you know, Monday through Friday, basically.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we pick the correct management company to do that.
Gotcha. Okay. So it really had a lot to do with your business plan, you know, knowing what you plan to do with that. But even before that, you know, it's probably easier to try to find deals to a certain extent remotely. You don't necessarily have to go and walk properties in order to find a deal. But did you find that challenging, that aspect as well?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. When you're reaching out to brokers and you're like, hey, you know, do you have an iPhone? Because I'm gonna try to call you via like, you know, FaceTime audio or something like that, right? Or hey, do you want to hop on a Zoom call? Even though a lot of people were going to Zoom because of COVID and stuff like that, not a lot of brokers were actually wanting to meet via Zoom, right? However, some did. And it was just like getting my foot in the door initially. And so like I had to be very creative with that. And what I ended up doing was writing like a cover letter with all of our bios, like an entire team, you know, not just the general partners that were going to be on our team, but also like lenders, insurance brokers, property management companies, things like that, like the whole team, everybody that you need on a syndication team, and put it all together in one letter and then submitted that to brokers. That allows them, you know, that allows you a little bit of credibility for them to at least pick up the phone when you call, right?
Right.
And it wasn't actually until this year that we ended up getting like a US number that was like our business number now. And so like people can call a US number instead of me trying to call, you know, FaceTime audio or something like that or through WhatsApp, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
No, those are definitely challenges. And in terms of actually, you know, going through with it, I mean, even before that, let me just take one step back. You mentioned having all these, you know, partners that you put together and general partners that came in on these deals. Was that something that was that took a long time to kind of figure out who those key people were, or was it like on a deal to deal type thing where you're working with different partners and trying to find the right deal for different partners?
Yeah, that's a great question. So It is kind of deal to deal, but what took the longest was like seeing them show up in the space every time, right? So like that was something that we knew we had to be very consistent with. Like we wanted to show up at the same meetups. We wanted to like show up at the conferences. We wanted to be involved as often as possible because then we got to see like the other side of people as well, right? So like who do we consistently see in the space who's like continuing to educate themselves and be out there and network? Like who are we seeing in mastermind groups? Who are we seeing putting themselves out there on social mm-hmm. media? So that is really what took the longest because initially with some calls, people were hesitant that we were in the UK, but then we also had people who were like, oh, okay, let's partner like 20 minutes in. It's like, whoa, I literally don't know you, you know? And so I wanted to see like a lot more of who these people were. And so I think it did take a long time just because like we methodically thought about like, who do we want on the deal and why do we want them with us, right? Because mm-hmm. we didn't want to just bring people on because we were overseas and hoping that we could take a deal down, right? Like right. there's so much more. Like, do these people have the same values as us? Do these people truly actually care about like the families in these assets, or are they just out for the money, right? Because then conversations change drastically. Mm-hmm. Like when you're putting together a business plan, it goes from like, oh, well, I think we can do all of these things and raise the rent instead of like, okay, well, if we add this amenity, how do we change the lives of the people there? You know? Right. And like, so figuring out who those people were, I guess, took a little longer, but it was well worth it.
Absolutely. And that's an incredible point. There's a huge difference between people who are in business just for the money. And that a lot of times gives a little bit of a bad name to people in the real estate business, you know, where you hear these stories of people who are, you know, just out there and cheating and, you know, slumlords yep. or whatever. Even people who are just in it for the, you know, and I've seen plenty of people doing it for just for the acquisition fees or the fees that they're involved in the syndications and not necessarily, you know, actually worried about improving the lives of the people there. And when you have other partners who, and I love what you said, like have the same values that you do, that those are, that's what matters most to you. You want to make sure that you have partners that that matters most to them. You know, there's obviously a hierarchy. There's a list of like, okay, 1 through 10, like what's most important in terms of getting this. Obviously making money is important, right? No one would say you should, it's not altruistic to buy real estate. That's not why people do it, right? Most people, yeah. Not running a nonprofit. You're running a for-profit business and you want to also simultaneously improve the lives, improve the community of those people around. So I think that's awesome. And I'm sure it did take time and probably still is going to take time as you go from deal to deal. You're going to actually find out if the plan yeah. actually worked.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to add to that real quick is, you know, within the first couple of weeks of taking over our asset in Tulsa, like we had an issue with a leak in one of the units, right? And so there was literally standing water in the kitchen. Like the gentleman couldn't go to his kitchen to do dishes, to make food or anything like that without getting like his feet wet. Wow. He had been reporting that this leak to the previous owner before we took over, like for months and months. Wow. He actually stopped paying rent because he's like, I'm living in this place and I can't live here because it's not habitable. words today are hard. But anyways, what we did, or our property management company, right, when they saw that, when it took over, or the gentleman reported it again, they're like, immediately fix it. Yeah. And I'm glad. I was like, they didn't even ask us, you know, if we had the money to fix it or anything like that, they did it. And at that point, I knew we had the right people on our team because mm-hmm. there was no doubt in my mind that we were going to fix it and all of our partners were going to fix it. You know, we're going to like, oh, maybe we shouldn't fix that. Maybe we can try to, you know, I don't know. But I knew at that time, you know, we picked the right team and we were excited that that gentleman now got it all fixed. We had to replace the flooring, the cabinets and things like that. But now he's actually happy, paying resident again. And we're excited to be able to help him out that way.
Absolutely. There's so many stories like that, but I'm glad you brought something like that up. I mean, you, like you said, you really want to make sure that the property manager and the team that is running the day-to-day has the best interests of the residents in mind. And unfortunately, if the previous property management company was not taking care of that, like to me, that's just, it's shocking like that can even exist.
Right. And even something with that too, like that's not an ROI that you can actually put money on, right? Like that return on investment, like there's no value. And like, that's our huge thing, right? Is like, instead of return on investment, it's like return on impact. Like we have now made their lives significantly better. Even with our property management company, the woman who is in the office, like day to day, she has become like very, I don't want to say friendly, but I guess that's the word I can use, with the residents, like, because she wants them to trust her. Mm. And yes, like if she spends the extra time to like gain the trust of the residents, then that is like way more important than like, okay, did you pump out 400 Craigslist ads? And like, did you get to clean up every piece of litter? Because if the residents that are in there already like are not happy, you know, like they're the ones who will stop paying rent. They're mm-hmm. the ones who could potentially like not put in maintenance reports or to I even put more litter out on the lawn, you know, like whatever it will be. Like, it's really about like, what are you doing to make them happy? Because when they're happy, they want to stay, like they'll tell their friends or family to like move in. There's like a, there's just so much more, you know, like when you neglect your residents, like not only like do you put a bad name out there in the real estate world, but like you are actually like harming others in a way. And sure. like, we just found that to be just like amazing when we actually found out about the issue.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because there's so many stories like that. I mean, we can all relate to that in certain ways. But I heard from, I think it was Robert Martinez, actually. Yeah, the apartment rock star, who was a guest on our podcast way back in the early, I don't remember the exact number episode, but go check it out. Robert Martinez, the apartment rock star. He said something that was fascinating to me. He said that you make money, or he asked it as a question, like, when do you make money, right? So people say you make money on the buy, right? You make money. So you make money on the renewal, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you make money in because if you don't have that turnover, that is making you the most money. So he puts in a lot of effort into making sure that his residents are very happy. You know, so many things that he does to the point where he's actually been awarded like the number one apartment investor, number one property, like time and time again from the National Apartment Association. So, you know that you're doing something right when you're being recognized by national organizations that your apartment community is top notch.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is really incredible because like not enough. I mean, yes, there are like a lot of us who think about it, but then there are a lot of us that don't, right? It's like, what are we doing like beyond ourselves in order to make this all worth it? You know, because like we're finally in a position where like we're in control of our time, or that's where we want to be. And we're in control like of our like freedom, I guess. But like, what are we doing to show for it? Like now that we have it all, like what have we done for ourselves or our mm-hmm. family or like the community or whatever? So that's really amazing that he did that.
Yeah, totally. What are some of the challenges you guys have? Because going back to the, you know, remote investing thing, this is probably something common for a lot of people, because people listening to this might be thinking to themselves, well, hey, I'd like to invest in Atlanta and I live in, I don't know, in California or whatever. That's still pretty far away. It's not as far as from the UK to Tulsa, Oklahoma, but it's still pretty far, right?
Yeah.
So what are the challenges that you guys are facing with doing this from so far away?
I'm trying to think, we took a lot of time at the very beginning, like putting together all the systems and processes in place. It took, when we first started looking at those properties that we were getting, like the first deals with our boots in the ground and stuff like that, like, we didn't really know what we were looking for, or everything that we knew what we were looking for, but like we didn't know everything that we were looking for, right? And so over time, looking at more and more properties, okay, but like this is what you need to take a picture of, this, whatever. We need to know more about this, or get a vendor out here for that, or whatever. Right. So like building, we took a lot of time to build the systems and processes. So like, I mean, like literally like walk checklist. This is exactly what you need to do. This is exactly what pictures we need to take. And we all upload them on one Google Drive, and everybody has access to them as a general partnership team, right? So things like that, like mm-hmm. those are, you know, not being on the property is definitely the biggest challenge, like not seeing it, right? So like we've tried to make that more streamlined, or make it so it feels like we're there, like looking at all the pictures and talking to the property management company and talking to our partners who have actually walked the asset.
Right.
But I think that's our biggest challenge, is not being able to be physically there. But I wouldn't say that's necessarily a challenge, because we've been able to put that trust into our partners. Mm-hmm. Instead of making sure that we have the right partners was the first challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And asking deeper questions. And Susie can elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, please do. Like some of those deeper questions to those potential partners, like how do you, you know, how do you vet that and how do you figure out that they're the right one?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, even if we start with like our property managers, so like asking deeper questions about the business plan, right? Like, so instead of just getting like, yes, this will work. Yes, that's a great idea. Yes, we can raise rents that high. Like, why do you think you can raise rents that high? Like, why do you think that this business plan will work in this area? Or why will this amenity be used? Because like they should really have that knowledge, I guess, or be able to find that data like very easily in order to provide you with those questions. Cause then they're truly like in tuned with the area. And that's really what you want, right? But then even with your partners, like asking a big thing was like, why do you want to invest in real estate? Right. Cause then that's how you figure out like the deeper meaning of what drives them.
Right.
I mean, even when it comes to something like raising capital, like in conversations, a lot of people will be like, oh, I think I can bring $1 million or I think I can bring 500K, like asking like, why do you think you can raise that amount? Right. Because like, do you have SOG commits where you're checking in with them every quarter, you know, cause like, you don't know if they've invested in a deal in that time. So it's like thinking beyond like, yes, right. And we all have like blind spots, but even if you're partnering like with somebody who's experienced, like they have blind spots too. So it's like continuing to educate yourself and be like, well, why do you do it this way? Or why do you do it that way? Really? It's like, why? Right. All of the why questions is what like brings those deeper questions into play so that you can then understand like where the meaning comes from. Like, I'm just a person who doesn't want to just be told something like, oh, this is the way that it is. I want to be like, well, why? Because then I'm going to remember, right? Like I'm not like a person who just memorizes everything. Right. Like I have to have it like go in and then make sense and then flow out in my own words.
For sure. So where do you guys see this going over the next, you said you're still in Cambridge for at least a year and a half or so. I mean, the plan is to move right back, keep doing this as much as possible for the next couple of years.
So the plan is I can retire in like 7 years from the military. So we're going to be as active as possible for the next 7 years. Our goals this year are, well, we wanted to, so we're lead sponsors on the one we just closed. And then we were like, well, we'll take a break from that because that's a lot of work. It's like 700 emails, right? It's like a lot of work, right? And, but you know, we were like, well, we'll take a break. We'll just be co-sponsors, let somebody else lead a deal. And then we'll just, you know, kind of help out through, you know, asset management or bringing capital, things like that. And then another deal fell in our lap and we're like, okay, here we go again. Let's do it. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Well, it's very rare that this opportunity would have came up again. And so we're like, we have to do it now. And so we're like, okay, let's do it. So, but what we did again was like, we went through those 700 emails from the first time and we wrote down everything, you know, line by line, like 215 items that we went through, like from pre-LOI all the way through closing. Right. And we put that into like a spreadsheet and now we use that in Asana. Upload that in Asana. And so now, you know, being the lead sponsors on this current deal, everything's already uploaded. We know exactly what needs to occur from, you know, before you get the property under contract to takeover.
Wow.
And now we can go through and assign it to all of our co-sponsors, right? And so that's taken a huge burden off of us as the lead sponsors and just being able to see everything that needs to take place from start to finish.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I mean, that really saves you a tremendous amount of time. And I guess, you know, when building any business, the beginning is always hard, right? And once you've done it once, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time. I mean, to do something that you did, like putting everything in in those spreadsheets, just makes so much sense, right? That makes it much easier. And obviously it'll make you guys more successful and more, managing your time better.
Yeah, absolutely. And even it really does, right? Cause then like, even when we transition back, like that in between time, when we move, like we will have everything like in place. Like, okay, like if we're in the middle of an acquisition, like, okay, these are the things that need to be done. So like, if we are out of pocket for like a week, then there should not be like, nothing should, I guess, explode.
Just to elaborate on that too, is like, we want to be able to do this because once I retire from the military, we're going to be living and working from wherever we want to in the world, right? Whether that's Thailand, Australia, Israel, wherever, right? We want to travel everywhere and live everywhere for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever, however long we feel like it. But we are setting up all the systems and processes now and proving that we can do it long distance from 4,000 miles away. What's the difference between, you know, 8,000 or 1,000 or whatever, right? So we're proving it and really sharpening our systems now, because once we are done in 7 years to live wherever we want, we could still run this business, or we can pass it off to somebody else to run for us, right? So that's the ultimate plan.
Awesome. That's amazing. It really is. And it's inspiring because I think you're really setting it up in such a way that makes it easier for everyone else, anyone else listening to this, including myself, that think that, oh, it's so challenging. I can't do this. There's so many things to do. Oh, no, it's not so hard. There's a lot of work that goes into it, but it can be done. And I'm glad that you have proven that. And, you know, wishing you a lot of success with that. I want to do something now, which we've never done before, as we transition into the final four. Okay, so this is something, right? We're just on the fly over here. We asked four questions to all of our guests. And usually when we have two people on the show, we'll just ask, you know, one. First I'll ask you, Susie, then I'll ask you, Michael. We'll see which answer you give, which answer you give. But since you guys are actually a couple and have been living and been together for how many years?
3 years now.
Three years? Oh, you probably know each other a little bit.
I know.
So I'm going to ask one of you, you know, to go off. All right. And I'm going to ask the questions to you. Let's just send off Michael. We'll ask the questions to Susie. Go off to the other room. All right. You're going to confirm that he is out. Just close the door. Can't hear the answers.
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay. I hope he's taking a break. So we're going to ask you these four questions. Going to bring him back. Hopefully somehow he'll get a message to come back.
I'll say the woo.
I don't know you're done, and then we'll come back and then we'll do the opposite and see if you can get the answers. It sounds a little crazy. This is like the newlywed game, right?
Yep, I like it.
Okay, so your questions. I'm going to ask you, and then we'll see if he gets them. So, the question to you is: what is the worst job that you ever had?
Yeah, so I actually thought about this, and I don't know if I've had a worse job per se, but I think I've had jobs that I did not like because of the people I worked with. So I don't really know if that really answers that well.
can you say one?
Yeah, I can say one. I was a server at Chili's and I did not enjoy it.
There you go. All righty. So second question, what is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
The Slight Edge.
The Slight Edge.
Yeah. So it's all about like being 1%, I guess, better every day, or like doing 1% more every day. Cause awesome. That's what started like our mini book club. And like ever since then, it like just very much relates to everything that we do now.
Very cool. All right. So third question for you, Susie, is what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
Skill is that this is silly. I want to learn how to make like vegan cheese.
All right.
I think that came from the question earlier when I was like, what's your favorite cheese?
You're a vegan?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. It's good to know skills that you can use practically, for sure. Yep. All righty. And so fourth and final question, what does success mean to you?
So success to me means that I'm like living out my life the way I want so that I can like achieve my life's work, right? So like as long as I'm taking the steps to get to that every day, then that is success to me.
Awesome. Love that. Love that answer. All right. So I'm going to send you out and go get Michael, and okay. He's going to come back. I'm going to ask him the questions and I'll bring you back and we'll see if you guys matched up.
Okay.
I'll see if each one of you can answer the other.
Okay.
All right. And Michael is back. So Michael, I'm going to ask you these four questions. You're going to give me the answers. Okay. Then we'll call Susie back and we'll see if each one of you can guess the other's answer. That's how we're going to do this. So this is fun. So the final four for you, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Ooh, I think the worst job that I ever had was working for Joe's Crab Shack, because not because I was a server or a host, but because we had a dance, and it wasn't the worst job, but it was very challenging for me, because we had to like every hour or whatever, they did like a little thing where you turn on the music and all the servers and hosts have to like dance around the restaurant. It's just ridiculous. So I didn't like that.
That's pretty wild. I never heard of that before, but okay. Second question. What is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Ooh. So there's two that kind of come to mind. So one I just recently read, it was Who Not How,
mm-hmm.
Which was very powerful. But the book that kind of put us, Susie and I, on the trajectory that we're on was A Slight Edge. So
interesting. Okay. Awesome. So third question for you, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
So one thing that I've been wanting to do, and I'll have to wait till I retire, but I already am a rescue diver, and I want to continue diving, but I want to get my dive master certification.
But that requires like 6 weeks of training, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. So I don't have that much time to take off right now because I'm in the military. The most you can take off is 4 weeks. So I have to wait till I retire. So looking forward to that though.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Rescue diver. We actually had, I don't know if you know Tim Kelly from Active Duty Passive Income.
I did. I've heard of Tim, yeah.
So he was a guest on the show also. And he, that's what he did in the Navy. He was a rescue diver.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah. I mean, he's an officer, petty officer, but that was one of the things he did. Anyways, fourth and final question for you is, what does success mean to you?
Success mean, you know, to me, that is being able to use money as a tool, right? It is a resource and a tool in order to help as many people as I can, right? So Susie and I's biggest thing is we want to be able to build schools in, you know, third world countries, because I think education would help solve a lot of these issues that the third world countries have, and just making education available to everyone, just like basic education, right? So I think that's huge.
Yeah, so having the money to do that is incredible. Well, awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much for that. Let's bring back Susie and let's see if we can make this happen. All righty. So we got Susie and Michael back. So this was fun. We asked each of you these four questions. You all gave different answers pretty much. So let's see if you can guess the others. So the first question I ask is, what is the worst job that you ever had? So Susie, what do you think Michael's worst job he ever had was?
Do I have to like know the place where he worked?
Well, let's hear what you have. Let's see.
Okay, hold on. I got to think on this.
I know it was at a restaurant, but that's all I remember. Sorry, I'm like getting stressed out now.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. That's actually right on. It was at a restaurant at Joe's Crab Shack.
Oh.
Nice.
All right, Michael, what about you? What do you think Susie's worst job she ever had was?
I know she didn't like sales. And she also works at a couple of restaurants too. She didn't like being a server. So we shared that, but I don't know what to go with.
That's good. She well, you know? To be honest, she had a difficult time answering this herself, so I'll give you that. But the second one was actually correct. She said, you know, as a server at Chili's, that was her worst. If she had to pinpoint it, that'd be good. So you guys are one for one.
We don't like working at restaurants.
There you go. And you have that in common, and that brought you guys together. So the second one, let's see. Susie, what do you think Michael's book that gave him a paradigm shift is?
The Slight Edge?
Yeah.
Wow, very good. That's
he
awesome.
He said The Slight Edge?
He said The Slight Edge. Yeah, The Slight Edge. That gave him a paradigm shift. Very good. Awesome.
I mean, I was hoping we did the book club together. So.
What about you, Michael? What do you think Susie's...
I just
gave that away. There you go. And I think that's all. You guys have the exact same book.
That was the first book we had in our...
In our book club. Yeah.
Very cool. So that definitely helped you guys take it to the next level. Awesome. So you guys got that. We're two for two over here. This is awesome. You guys are glad we're bringing you guys closer through this podcast episode also.
I was going to say, COVID makes you really close in lockdowns. So yeah,
that's true.
You learn a lot about each other.
That is true. Third question. So we're going to ask Michael here first. Mike, what do you think a skill or talent that Susie would like to learn?
So there's two things on her goals for this year. And one was to do a pull-up, unassisted pull-up. And the other one was to make vegan blue cheese.
There you go. Wow. Cool. Very good. So she actually said vegan cheese. That was a skill she learned. That's awesome. All right, Susie, what about you? What's a skill or talent that Michael would like to learn?
I don't know. This one's hard.
It is hard. Gotta get deep into his psyche. See if you can look into his eyes and figure it out.
Right. I'm going to have to say be fluent in French.
Ooh, that's a good one. There you go.
I was fluent at one point.
Awesome. Yeah. But it wasn't. That's not what he said, but I'm sure it's a good one. sorry, you're going to have to choose behind door number three to get the right answer. No, he said he would love to, after the military, to become a rescue diver.
Oh,
become
yeah.
a certified rescue diver.
Now I feel bad. Well, fun fact, we got engaged underwater scuba diving. So I feel like I should have known that.
That's pretty cool. That is a fun fact. Yeah. Talk about the adventurous real estate investors. So for the final question, let's start off with Susie again on this one. What does success mean to you? And we asked this to Michael. What does success mean to him?
Oh, I have to go first again?
No, we'll have Michael go first.
Okay, good.
I would say that, you know, being able to help as many people as she could with the wealth that we build through real estate, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Probably. I mean, I don't think it's exactly what she said, but close enough.
Making the biggest impact that she can.
I think it was something along the lines of just like living out, you know, your life, your best life.
Yeah, like living out my life's work every day.
Yeah.
So yeah, he got a little bit deeper. I was pretty broad.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so let's go back to Susan and see if you can see what the best, what is success in Michael's eyes?
So because our why is pretty connected, I'm going to guess that for him, it's like to be able to like serve, you know, like beyond his four walls and like give back to people who cannot like serve themselves.
Very good. Yeah. Anything specific in that regard?
We go back and forth with this, but so like we really want to like build schools in other countries, but like lately too, we've been wanting to, Michael's thought of like doing the building homes for veterans in need.
Very cool.
So one of the two. Cool.
Very cool. Yeah, that was exactly it. He literally said that, to build schools. And that is so cool. You guys nailed this. You literally like blew this out of the water. This is a lot more fun than I thought it would be. So thank you guys for being sports on this. And glad to see you guys are totally aligned with your values and vision. So cool to see that from a couple, and it shows through. So thank you guys for sharing the time with me today. Where can our listeners find you or reach out to you?
So if you want to learn more about how we make an impact or how we are making impacts through real estate investing, so just go check us out at adventurousrei.com. And you can check us out there, and you'll be able to find us on LinkedIn, or you can shoot us an email directly to explore more at adventurousrei.com. And we're happy to chat with anybody.
Amazing.
About making awesome impacts.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And now my face hurts from smiling so much. So that's always a good sign from at the end of a half an hour. It's been awesome. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Jonah. It was a real pleasure. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. I hope you guys had as much fun as we did on this episode. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Jonah Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.